Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
This is Nick Scurfield with HoustonTexans.com here with Kent Summers, Cardinals beat writer for the Arizona Republic. Kent, thank you very much for joining us today.
Welcome.
Well, Kent, let's get started with this game. It's got to start with Andre Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. That's been all over the media, ESPN. What do you think about this matchup?
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch these two guys, obviously. I mean, they might be the two best receivers in the game, and certainly the two of the best younger receivers in the game. Fitzgerald's only 26. I think Andre's, 28? Mm-hmm. And both have, been to three Pro Bowls. Both are big guys who can get down the field. I think Johnson's probably a little more explosive and a little faster, and nobody catches the ball better than Larry Fitzgerald. So it's going to be interesting to see how each of these defenses tries to control these guys.
Do you think it's been tougher for Fitzgerald after the postseason run he had? Does it seem like teams are scheming more against him this year?
I don't know if they're doing it anymore, but certainly they're doing everything they can to take him away. I mean, he's seeing double coverage, bracketed, safety over the top. They're rolling everything toward him, and the Cardinals have struggled a little bit in their offense because of that. Early in the season, the two other receivers, Anquan Boldin and Steve Breaston, were banged up and not 100%, so teams were able to get by with doing that. The running game hasn't been very good, so the play action pass hasn't really been an effective part of their scheme. So that, Larry Fitzgerald, his longest catch this season is 25 yards. Hmm. So they're having trouble getting the ball downfield to him, and they're going to have to work a lot of shorter stuff, and they're really, I think, hoping to get a running game going, at least to achieve a mediocre running game, at least keep it a threat. That's how they were successful in the playoffs last year, is teams at least had to worry a little bit about the run, and then they were able to get the ball deep to Fitzgerald.
How's the running back situation shaken out? It seemed like Beanie Wells was, obviously a high priority for them since they drafted him in the first round, but Tim Hightower really seems like he's the guy still.
Yeah, Tim Hightower's the starter. He's a solid player. There's some. He does a little bit of everything pretty well. Right now the advantage I think he has over Beanie Wells is he's a better blocker, understands the offense a little bit better. He's proven that he's a receiver out of the backfield. And Beanie's got he played a decent amount in the first two games and really showed some explosiveness that probably Tim Hightower doesn't have, some big playability. But, he also fumbled a couple of times in Jacksonville. And, and then their last game against the Colts, they were behind 21-3 at halftime and really had to throw the ball a ton in the second half and go to their spread formations. And Coach Ken Wisenhunt said, Beanie's just really not ready to play yet in that scheme. So, but I look for him to get more and more carries, starting this week and as the season progresses.
Well, Kurt Warner, aside from that great game he had at Jacksonville, he's had some struggles this year. He's been hit a lot through three games. Do you think he's starting to show his age a little bit?
You can tell he's a 38-year-old quarterback, no question about it. But the problem in their two losses, both at home to the 49ers and to the Colts, is those teams were able to get to him without blitzing. The 49ers did it with their defensive ends, Justin Smith, and outside linebacker Paris Harrelson, and, of course, the Colts. With Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney, they got a couple scores ahead, and those guys really teed off. I think where Warner really excels is that offensive line can hold up against just a conventional rush and force teams to blitz. Warner's deadly with the blitz, against the blitz, and almost welcomes it. So that will be a real key. First of all, is Mario Williams going to play? And then, how does left tackle Mike Gandy handle him? And how does the other tackle, Levi Brown, handle Antonio Smith and other pass rushers? If the Cardinals can give Warner time, he'll put up games occasionally like he did in Jacksonville where he was very hot. They've just had problems doing that so far this season.
Well, you mentioned Antonio Smith, of course, former Cardinal. He said he's very excited about getting a chance to go after Kurt Warner, even though they were very close friends in Arizona. Texans fans haven't gotten to know Antonio too much just yet. What can you tell us about the type of player he is and the type of person he is off the field as well from your time covering him?
He's a wonderful guy. He was always great with us, almost always upbeat and happy. And, I think they really miss him here. He became a really impact player for them late in the year, and was a real key to their playoff run. But they really miss him more in the locker room. He was a guy that kind of kept everybody loose, was always having fun, and He's got a tremendous motor. I mean, he plays hard all the time. And you really have to admire the way he's, you know, made himself into a player. You know, that sometimes you see guys get paid and you wonder, you know, you think, well, they don't deserve it, you know. And I think Antonio did deserve what the Texans gave him last year. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was, you know, drafted in the low rounds, was cut by this team, had to go to NFL Europe and you know, and come back. And so he's taken the long route and finally got rewarded. So, you know, good for Antonio. He's a good guy and a pretty good player. But the Cardinals had, you know, Calais Campbell, a second-round pick last year, ready to step in for him.
Right.
And he's played real well in place of Antonio. So they really haven't missed Antonio yet.
Antonio's been used a lot on the inside here in pass rushing situations as he was in Arizona. Is that where he was most effective as a pass rusher there?
Yeah, a little bit. Where he was really effective was against the run. He did a nice job rushing the passer late in the year. Did a nice job creating some turnovers that turned ball games around. They moved him a little bit inside last year, but not a ton.
Well, the Texans were a team that a lot of people compared to the Cardinals last year heading into this season as maybe this is a year they can get over the hump. Do you see a lot of similarities in these two teams? I mean, certainly they have very similar offenses at the very least.
Yeah, I see a lot of similarities, and Ken Wisenhunt noticed this the other day, or noted that, you know, there have been a lot of similarities just this season. You know, both teams have looked really good at times. Both of them have looked really bad at times. Some of them, you know, they've given up too many big plays, both defenses. The offenses maybe failed to capitalize on some big plays that were there. Kind of, you know, both of them have lost two games at home.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of up and down, but I think it's going to be a fun game because, you know, these are two of the more explosive offenses in the league. And I think defensively, you know, fans are looking at both these teams trying to figure out exactly what they have. You know, the Texans have a lot of talent and they're young, but you know, they've been up and down, and the Cardinals have a lot of talent and a lot of speed, but maybe not the most mature defense in the world. They have a hard time bouncing back from, you know, when something bad happens to them. So it's going to be interesting to see how these teams develop. You know, I think in a lot of ways, I guess you could say maybe the Texans are on the cusp of turning things around, although, you know, they're in a much tougher division than the Cardinals were, you know, and are. And that was a real boost to the Cardinals' chances last year, was playing in the NFC West and going 6-0 in the division.
Coming off the bye week, could you just talk about the health of the Cardinals? It seems like everyone's in pretty good shape down there.
Yeah, they really haven't been in this good of health since the start of training camp. You know, they got a couple of issues. The cornerback Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie has a fractured right index finger. He's going to be playing with a kind of a plastic brace and a wrap on, and he struggled a little bit this season anyway. So, and you know, we all thought he was ready to take that next step and become an elite corner. He was a guy who was a real key to their playoff run. So we'll see how he plays with that injury. You know, left guard Reggie Wells has a thumb injury on his left hand, but he's going to play. Kurt Warner's dealt with a sore right shoulder, but he hasn't missed a minute of practice. So they're pretty healthy. They're, you know, like you say, coming off a bye. They've only played the three games. They would rather have the bye toward the middle of the year, but,
right,
you know, they're as healthy as they're going to be all year.
All right, Kent, last question. Seems like it's going to be a pretty high-scoring affair. What's your prediction for the way the game's going to play out in the score?
Well, you know, I agree with you. I mean, it does look like, you know, both teams are going to have to score, you know, a considerable amount of points to win, but you know how those things go. Sometimes it ends up being a 10-7 game then.
Right.
But I think the Cardinals are a really desperate team. They, like I said, they've already lost two games at home. You know, they were 14-4 at home entering this season, you know, before in the previous 2 years under Ken Wisenhunt. So they need this win. They go on the road the three of the next 4 weeks. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals just because they're more desperate. I think it's going to be something like 27-24. I'll pick the Cardinals in a really good game.
Football town in Houston. Yeah,